AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Six Palestinians, including two children, have died in the last day in Gaza from hunger as the humanitarian crisis there grows. Overnight, the IDF announced a tactical pause in fighting in three areas and also airdropped seven pallets of humanitarian aid. At Denver Airport yesterday, American Airlines flight was forced to abort takeoff with passengers evacuated onto the runway. The airline calls it a landing gear issue the FAA is investigating. Much of the Southeast is under severe heat warnings.
The current epicenter of the heat, the Carolinas, where the feels-like temperature is up to 115 degrees. Along the Carolina coast, shorelines packed, the waters full of swimmers. Concert goers at Sweetgrass Festival in Mount Pleasant trying to stay cool.
ABC's Morgan Norwood. President Trump is in Scotland this weekend, meeting with European leaders. This is ABC News. Sources tell ABC News Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. plans to lay off all 16 members of a task force that recommends which preventative health care services must be covered by insurance. Kennedy views the group as too woke, according to a source familiar with the plans. On Saturday, Kennedy told a bipartisan group of governors in Colorado Springs that he supports the Trump administration's decision to downsize, but if he had the power, he wouldn't make any cuts.
If it were up to me, I wouldn't cut anything in my department. When there's no cabinet secretary, with the exception of maybe one, is Linda McMahon. There's nobody else, I think, in the cabinet who wants to see any of their budgets cut.
A spokesman for HHS says no final decision has been made. 11 people are in the hospital after a man began stabbing people at a Walmart in Traverse City, Michigan. Hospital says five people are in critical condition and six are in serious condition. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. Even some of the lawmakers who voted for the One Big Beautiful Bill Act say they weren't aware of everything in it. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
UW-Madison political science professor Barry Burden says the effects of the bill's most controversial parts, like changes to Medicaid and SNAP, won't be felt until after the next midterm election. He says it's fair to think the timing is strategic.
It's almost certain that there are Republicans saying, look, this is going to hurt me back in my state or district as I try to win re-election next year. Can we please put off the pain for the Medicaid recipients and the SNAP recipients until after the midterms?
Burden says the vote became a decision on whether to support the president rather than a focus on the bill's merits. Democrats have already seized on the opportunity to target their GOP colleagues' seats in next year's midterms. Burden says while the attention was primarily focused on tax cuts and Medicaid, many elements of the bill were not thoroughly scrutinized. He thinks the nation will continue to discover consequences of the new law for years.
It's common for Congress nowadays to pass omnibus bills that are really large budget packages. And it it's difficult for any member of Congress to keep track of all the things that are there. But this was one of those omnibus bills on steroids.
Many provisions didn't get any discussion on the House or Senate floor, like a $40 million National Garden of American Heroes sculpture park. Burden says Trump's pressure to sign the bill by July 4th was a key factor in getting it passed.
Since President Trump took office in January, there's been very little legislating. Almost no bills passed through the House and Senate and sent to President Trump's desk. This was one. This was a hallmark piece of legislation. It's going to be a defining piece of legislation in next year's midterms.
For Illinois News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Quite a bit of sunshine around the area for your Sunday, but a heat advisory in effect. Highs reaching the lower 90s. The heat index, though, will be up around 100, maybe a little higher, a south breeze. Overnight showers and storms and lows of the lower 70s. Currently 71 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to author Laura Bird recommending books with a connection to nature and Senator Tammy Baldwin on keeping rural drinking water clean in Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we are hitting off right off the top here with our friend Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin. And Arvina, I like to get a little cultural here when we get going, and I understand we're sharing the same kind of heat and temperatures and rain. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thanks for having me. I've been working on staying hydrated all day and in the air conditioning because you step outside and it's just this massive, oppressive heat and humidity. And we had some crazy thunderstorms this morning too, so... It's wild.
It is. And it's weird, too, because I was walking Wanda, which I don't like to call her our dog, but she is our dog, Wanda. And she kind of wanted to come back, and she normally doesn't. And as soon as we came back, it started pouring. So she knew what was going on more than I did.
Yeah, she felt it in the air.
Definitely. Hey, we have like a Ho-Chunk word of the day, and... Arvina, you may have one for us today.
I do. Inspired by the weather, I was thinking Dakutch, which means hot. And, you know, that's one of the few Ho-Chunk words that I would hear when I was growing up. If we were in the kitchen and we were trying to grab something. No, Dakutch!
Okay. That's too a good hot. One. That's a good one too. And you know, I feel like the weather's really changed a lot over the last few years. And, you know, summertime really starts earlier now here in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And we don't have our four seasons like we used to when I was a kid. And it's interesting because all of a sudden it's summer, you know, we don't have that beautiful spring that I always love.
I mean, I feel like we go from like the dreary winter where like all the snow is gray and muddy and gross. And yeah. You go through the melt stage and you get everything turns green. And then immediately, yeah, you're right. It turns into summer. I like having that time where, you know, if you go for a walk every day, that there's something new blooming or blossoming every day. And it goes too quick now before it gets too hot.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to jump in right away too, and maybe a little later on talk some local politics. You're our eyes and ears of what's happening in Wisconsin and a little nationally too, because there's some things that just came out. But I really want to start out tonight, talk about Emerge Wisconsin, and I'm on the website right now too, and we've talked about this before, that Emerge Wisconsin alums win big on election night a couple of years ago, and these exciting things that you do, I really want to appreciate you coming on. And I know our relatives mentioned to me that it's great to have you on all over Wisconsin and, of course, Minnesota here, too, with the AM950. But, you know, we're on quite a few stations in Wisconsin, too, with our friends. And I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, I'm always happy to be here. It's a fun time on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. So talk about a little bit about Emerge again, and I'd really like to start out and talk about that, because in Wisconsin, not unlike Minnesota, but in Wisconsin, election season's every season.
Yeah. So Emerge Wisconsin is an organization that helps identify and recruit and train Democratic women and non-binary folks to run for elected office. And, you know, we've had a very successful spring 2025, and we, you know, had some bright spots in the fall 2024 election. Between those two elections, women that ran for elected office ran at the rate of 91, or won, I should say, at the rate of 91%. And so we are really proud of our alumna who put their names on the ballot and then put in the work to win a campaign, you know, using the tools that we provide and provide access to. You know, we teach people that want to run for office on how to run a successful campaign that is authentic to you. We're not looking to put, you know, candidates in some kind of perfect candidate cookie cutter mold kind of thing. We want folks to be able to apply the things that they learn in a way that reflects the authentic self, their authentic self. We teach things about like how to talk about yourself, how to talk about and, you know, give a stump speech, your elevator pitch. We also talk about things like how to pick or find your win number, how to make sure you're talking to enough voters on doors and the phones and at events in order to hit your vote win total. We talk about things like putting together your campaign team, again, things like messaging, and, you know, just basically all the tools that you will need to put together in order to run a successful campaign for office. And like I said, we're really proud of our alums, and we have alums that are looking to run in 2026, both spring and fall. So, you know, keep your eyes open for Emerge Wisconsin names on your ballot. We are also looking forward to doing some trainings in conjunction and hosted by various subunits of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We'll be doing something with some of the caucuses, hopefully all of the caucuses, but also in the third congressional district. we are going to be hosting and putting on a presentation called Step Forward. And this is really great. If you've ever thought about running for office, it'll be a 1-hour presentation, and we'll cover, you know, the things that you have to think about before you run for office. We're going to talk about your why and how to articulate that and how to understand, you know, what you are or why you're running for office. We talk about, you know, what seat you can have the most impact in, and when and where, the timing and location of when you run. And then at the end, we'll talk about basically how you prepare yourself as a candidate, as a person, and prepare your network to run. So you leave with some tangible steps on what you need to do to get a candidacy off the ground. So stay tuned for those dates.
Hey, you know, I would love it too if, even if you don't guest host, which you have over in the past here on Native Roots Radio, I'd love it that one of your days that you're on, pick a day that you would take over the show and have one of your candidates on. That would be just so awesome. And really, that's what we're all about here is passing on a good word. And the good word that Emerge is doing is just... it's just fabulous. And I feel blessed having you on and then talking about these real things and things that that we can help people with and help. And then we help these candidates. They're helping our people.
Yeah, I mean, I include in our training a Tribes 101 presentation so that everybody that goes through the Emerge Wisconsin program will then have a, you know, an understanding of tribal sovereignty and the importance of working with tribal governments as peer institutions, not special interests, et cetera. So, you know, we take it very seriously and want to make sure that our alums go out, you know, with knowledge of Indian country.
That's really cool. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin and our weekly talk, and I just love it. And we're going to be right back with Arvina. This is Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years, and we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hicha, wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, we are with our friend Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, and I can't say that word. We're just talking here. We're just talking here on AM 950 and across Civic Media, and I just love to hear about Emerge Wisconsin because I always want when we have guests on with things happening in community, I always want a call to action, and I feel like Emerge Wisconsin is a call to action and a very successful one. And so again, I really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. And, you know, I participated and graduated from the Emerge Wisconsin program in 2014 and, you know, have always wanted to encourage more Native women and non-binary folks, our two-spirit siblings, to also, consider sharing their experiences. You know, we have so many people that are so talented and have incredible experiences in life. And we need people with those experiences to help make policy at all levels. You know, it doesn't make sense to have only, you know, attorneys or accountants or anything like that serve in these elected roles. You know, we need people that have, maybe you've had trouble in school and went through that. Maybe you didn't graduate. That experience is so needed on places like school boards or other places where decisions on education are being made. You know, we discount a lot of our experiences and think that they're not the standard. Well, standard is just the regular. And I firmly believe that we need different backgrounds. We need people with different lived experiences because that's the only way we cover our collective blind spots. And we need to be thinking especially about people who are having a rough time, whether it is, you know, unemployment, you know, the fact that we're going to be kicking so many people off Medicaid and SNAP benefits, you know, and is it really the best idea to have someone making rules about that hasn't ever experienced that kind of hardship and the realities of how someone, you know, is in that situation, how they're able to persevere and you know, continue on and be able to, you know, work themselves into a different situation. You know, that kind of experience is so invaluable when we are having these discussions on policy. And I really, you know, love that Emerge is able to meet so many of these people that become candidates and are able to give them tools that they don't, you know, even know that they need yet. Because, you know, we all think because we see commercials on TV that we understand how campaigns are run, but it's a very specific, you know, set of knowledge and, you know, you don't want to go into a test without being prepared. So you study, like, this is the study. This is the learning part that helps you prepare yourself for the realities of being a candidate and for the realities of being an elected official.
You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about, too, is what happened in New York with the mayor. He went out and asked people, he was boots on the ground, knocked on doors and asked people for their top four concerns and ran on that. And that's kind of what you're saying, too, about people's experience.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we know that these things are going to happen. All of these cuts are going to happen. They're not going to happen until after the midterm elections. So the Republicans will then be able to blame it on Democrats if Democrats retake the House and or Senate. And, you know, I also firmly believe that we're going to start hearing from new voices of people who are being disenfranchised or people that are experiencing or have experienced whenever in their past, you know, job insecurity or food insecurity, you know, dealing with incarceration or folks, you know, relatives that are incarcerated, Those perspectives are so important because that lived experience is like I said, invaluable. And you know, we don't need to just have Nepo babies running things all over the place because they have no idea, you know, what these struggles mean. That's how we start making decisions that are going to be better for the most people and not just for billionaires.
Yeah. Right on. And you know, I really love, and agree. And I love talking about this because that is to stay on top of what's happening for one, like you said, that, after the election, all these, bills will start taking effect and then remind everybody out there too, because I really believe for the novice, I mean, I listen to a lot of radio and I listen to or read a lot, but there's our community out there that is struggling at times, that needs two jobs, that have kids, they have a mortgage, they have full-time jobs. And so I appreciate what you have to say every week and bringing this up.
I mean, I'm hoping that there are people out there who hear this, and, you know, especially for our Native family, I want folks to see themselves as people who can be change makers, and that can be, and what I do for my day job is help people become change makers by becoming policymakers. But, you know, there's lots of ways to do it. You know, I hope that some folks out there hear this message and think, that's something I could do. I could be on my city council. I could be on my county board or school board. You know, deciding to run for office is not just, I'm going to run for Congress. And oftentimes local government, you know, those changes that you can make there are going to be the ones that directly affect folks every day, whether it is a decision about school funding, whether it's decisions about what roads to improve, infrastructure concerns. Those are all really important, and you really have an opportunity to make a difference in people's lives.
Well, I like it here in Minnesota. Only the last, well, it started with Susan Allen, who was state representative Native American roughly 10 years ago. And then we had up to four people that, including the lieutenant governor was a state representative prior to being lieutenant governor. So we had people that were educating other legislators on really what was going on. But if you don't have that, if you don't bring your experience, then again, what you just said, it they don't know, because of whatever reason they're not thinking about it, they weren't taught that, or they didn't go through it.
Yeah, and it's always going to be good. I mean, it's going to be good for tribes to have Native people in other units of government, from the local, state, and federal. I know that when I was on city council in Madison, you know, people would kind of tag me on issues related to Native people or to the Ho-Chunk Nation in particular. I knew who to reach out to in a lot of these situations. You have someone that understands how tribal governments work. I remember a debate where we were debating a upgrade to a particular interchange off of the interstate near Madison, near where our casino is in Madison, and you know, people wanting to, you know, didn't like what the proposal was and wanting to go back and start that process over. And, you know, I had to be the one being like, this project goes through the U.S. and State Department of Transportation, the Federal Highway Administration, you know, the city of Madison, the Ho-Chunk Nation, the county of Dane. That's a lot of groups that have to sign on to something, and it's absolutely not feasible. I made the argument that it was absolutely an equity issue that that intersection off of the interstate that leads to our casino would be the number one, you know, intersection traveled by Native people in the city of Madison, because we have so many Native people employed at the casino.
Also, if I remember correctly, in my 4 years, is that it was a safety issue too.
It was absolutely a safety issue. It was a dangerous crossing across a divided highway. And now there's a better interchange. It involves roundabouts and an exit onto a street named Mahinch Road. And I get a kick out of seeing that sign every day. Every time I make that trip and see that, you know, you have to get off on Mahinch Road. Mahinch being the Ho-Chunk word for milkweed. And seeing that I think it's really cool. And it's so much safer. You are not, you know, trying to beat traffic. And I feel much safer on that that interchange than I did previously.
Wow, we got in there a second word of the day, too. That's awesome.
Yes.
Hey, can you hold on for another part of this next segment, please? I wanted to talk a little bit nationally, if we can. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and this is Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Six Palestinians, including two children, have died in the last day in Gaza from hunger as the humanitarian crisis there grows. Overnight, the IDF announced a tactical pause in fighting in three areas and also airdropped seven pallets of humanitarian aid. At Denver Airport yesterday,
everybody head towards the west.
American Airlines flight was forced to abort takeoff with passengers evacuated onto the runway. The airline calls it a landing gear issue the FAA is investigating. Much of the southeast is under severe heat warnings.
The current epicenter of the heat, the Carolinas, where the feels-like temperature is up to 115 degrees. Along the Carolina coast, shorelines packed, the waters full of swimmers. Concertgoers at Sweetgrass Festival in Mount Pleasant trying to stay cool.
ABC's Morgan Norwood. President Trump is in Scotland this weekend, meeting with European leaders. This is ABC News.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Back-to-back losses. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 7-4 loss to the Marlins at American Family Field in Milwaukee. That's back-to-back losses for the crew and their first series loss in 3.5 weeks. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Bound to happen, you know that. It's bound to happen. I've said it before, like we're an inch from the top and an inch from the bottom. So it's a very fine line. You got to come with that edge every day. And I'm not so certain we didn't, and we just didn't. Like you said, we had some things go against us. And they got some timely hits. We gave up some free bases and made some defensive miscues that we don't normally do, and it leads to runs.
NFL, hot and humid at the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where a few mistakes were made during practice. I asked linebacker Edrin Cooper on his advice to the rookies when they've missed an assignment.
You have to push it to the side. Just try to do what the best you could do. Keep your standard high. If you do what you need to do, all the good things are going to come.
With sports from training camp in Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Quite a bit of sunshine around the area for your Sunday, but a heat advisory in effect. Highs reaching the lower 90s. The heat index, though, will be up around 100, maybe a little higher, a south breeze. Overnight showers and storms and lows of the lower 70s. Right now, it's 70.
Whether it's day or night, hot flashes due to menopause can be unpredictable. That's why there's Veozah, a prescription treatment proven to reduce the number and severity of hot flashes day and night that can start working in as early as 1 week. Based on clinical studies measuring efficacy at 4 and 12 weeks, individual results may vary. Talk to your healthcare provider about what this may mean for you. For moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms or hot flashes and night sweats due to menopause, Veozah can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veozah and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veozah if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veozah. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veozah.com. That's Veozah.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for childcare in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will be joining us to break down all of the news that happened over the weekend. Nothing will happen. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are here with Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're going to have Bob Blake come on with Solar Bear with the Solar News after an upcoming segment. I look at the daily news because it's so misdirecting. And, you know, we got Obama that, you know, had to even stoop down and make a comment about the insanity that Trump said about him. And there's just all this misdirection going on. And, you know, the MAGA people are totally freaked out about the Epstein files.
Well, I mean, not without cause. I mean, we should all be concerned about the Epstein files, and mm-hmm. and you know, we found out today the Wall Street Journal reported that Trump was informed that his name is in the files by the mm-hmm. Attorney General Pam Bondi in May. So he's and we don't, you know, being named in the files is not necessarily mean that something bad has happened, but there seems to be a lot of smoke, you know, coming out of this general area for there not to be a fire. You know, the Wall Street Journal's reporting last week about the birthday card, which was, I mean, Donald Trump is not a subtle man. And so his jokes about, like, we're going to have more secrets or things like that. I mean, those, again, seems to be more smoke that points to evidence that there is, in fact, a fire. And having Speaker Mike Johnson send Congress home.
Yes.
Without calling a vote on this, you know, Congress is going to be home for 2 months. And so, you know, this is an opportunity, people. If your congressperson is having any kind of event, whether it is a town hall, you know, a meet and greet, this is the time to talk to them. And especially if you have one of the Republican representatives in Congress, you know, ask them why they haven't been fighting for this. For this information to be, released to the public. You know, Trump talking about Obama doing this and Hillary that, and I want to force the Washington Commanders to change their name again. You know, this is the part of the presidency where he is starting to throw the spaghetti at the walls to see what sticks, and nothing is sticking.
Right.
So, you know,
don't forget Rosie O'Donnell. That was thrown in there.
Oh, yeah, too. Rosie O'Donnell, you know, taking away citizenship, saying that, I mean, and then you get into him talking about his uncle teaching Ted Kaczynski, but there's no way he could have known that because, you know, his uncle died 10 years before or 11 years before, Kaczynski was ever identified as the Unabomber. You know, he's trying desperately to change the narrative that's happening, and it only makes people stick to it. And to have news outlets like the Wall Street Journal, which is not known to be a left-leaning publication, right. And is known for their solid reporting standards. You know, I've heard people talking about the fact that Trump is suing the Wall Street Journal, but you know, they know, but publishing a story like this is going to, you know, bring out the litigiousness of Donald Trump. And so I'm sure they have all of their I's dotted and T's crossed. And again, anything to talk about anything other than Epstein.
Well, and again, my rabbit hole is too, and again, please don't laugh at my comment here about to say, but you know, is that they want J.D. Vance to be president. Now, that's the way the Wall Street Journal is going, and they want him because Trump's losing his mind with his Alzheimer's and everything, and he can't be trusted, and they want J.D. Vance in there. So, again, don't laugh at my conspiracy. I'll get my aluminum hat off real quick here, but who knows?
Yeah, well, and he's laying low. I'm sure that, you know, J.D. Vance's mouth is drooling at the prospect of you know, usurping power or stepping in gracefully should something happen, God forbid. And I don't know how he could keep everybody in line, you know, the same way that Trump does. I don't think people are going to be, you know, scared. I don't think people are scared of J.D. Vance in the way that they're scared of Trump. Lots of us are scared about J.D. Vance for other reasons, mostly policy related. Right. But you know, he doesn't have that same kind of, his ruthlessness is a lot different, and it doesn't, I'm trying to, I can't think of the word.
He does have better eyeliner than Trump. I do admit that. And now that he has that beard, he does have a chin. So,
oh dear, I didn't know he grew
Did I go there? Sorry. You got to keep me in line here and keep the show legit here. But yeah, so it's hard to go. We want to mention that, but it's always hard to go down these rabbit holes, especially. But you know, like you said earlier, everyone should be upset about Epstein. He was murdered, you know, all these cover-ups and all these things. And now, you know, Trump ran on, you know, that he was going to open up the files. And now, you know, the QAnon people are angry and on and on and on. I'm glad that we talk about local politics because this is maddening.
Yeah, it really is. And it's hard to anticipate what will happen next because we have long crossed over into unprecedented territory. You know, I remember when Trump got into the primary for president and I thought, oh, well, once they make him turn over his tax files, he'll drop out. That didn't happen. And all of these things that we thought were checks on him have not been so. And so it does make it more stressful to watch the news these days because you don't know what new fresh hell is going to happen every day, but you also don't know what the effects of that fresh hell will have on our future other than just the immediate, oh my God, this is awful. You know, because we are so far out of anything we've ever experienced. It's wild and speculation is so difficult. And even just speculating can stress somebody out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I say thank you, AM950, Civic Media, for having our show on here and all the other affiliates, because, you know, the mainstream media normalizes and I blame them a lot for what's going on here. It isn't that both sides do the same. It isn't that these things. And so I get really angry when I think about that we could have stopped this instead of giving free publicity the first time around where he didn't have a election committee, he didn't have a bank account, and he just started blowing up because they gave him $1 billion of free advertising that first time around.
And also fed his ego. And made it bigger than it was previously. I mean, he thinks he's a king. He thinks he's an emperor. He thinks he can take away people's citizenship willy-nilly. It's It's absolutely bonkers. And I know I feel like I say that every week, but it just, no. I mean, it takes a lot out of a person to be shocked all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Arvina, I want to ask you a question and change subjects right now too. Sure. And I do that a lot during the show, and especially when there's a call to action. And I don't know if I've done it with you, but you're always in the trenches. What do you do for yourself to keep, you know, to keep your sanity, to keep your spirit whole? What do you do?
I have been, you know, actually having some problems with that, because a lot of the things that I would normally do aren't bringing the same kind of relief. So these days, every night before I go to bed, I watch a little Bob's Burgers and then watch the Golden Girls and try to get my brain to be thinking about something a little more innocuous. And, you know, I know how every episode of the Golden Girls turns out, so I'm not going to be surprised. And there's not going to be any jump scares or anything. So I like to do that to help kind of make my brain wind down. Things that I do a lot, you know, skating, working out, getting the blood moving. I recently started doing contrast therapy, which involves me sitting in an infrared sauna for about 15 minutes and then jumping in a cold plunge pool for about 5.
Wow.
It's supposed to help your parasympathetic nervous system, which helps you calm down. It's supposed to, you know, their research is showing that it helps with blood pressure and heart rate, in addition to the anti-inflammatory effects that it has, like on muscles and joints and everything. So I'm trying to do that now. You know, when it's, the weather is nice, going to the pool to swim for a bit is nice. So, you know, try to get myself either flexing my actual muscles somehow and moving my body, or like flexing creativity muscles. Those are the two like largest buckets in which I use to divide up my happy making time.
That's awesome. Wendy and I have been watching from the beginning, and I didn't realize they were on 12 seasons. We had never watched before was The Big Bang Theory. And that show cracks me up week or daily or every 20 minutes. So it's cool. It's because there's no commercials. It's a 20 minute block and we go, oh, let's watch another one. And so we do an hour of that and try to just keep our minds out of things. And, you know, but then we kind of realized too that, you know, the show started in 2006 and, you know, it wasn't 100% politically correct with some of their humor back then.
I find that too. Not so much with the Golden Girls, surprisingly. That has held up very well. But considering I believe it launched in like 1986. But, you know, I definitely see shows that I watched maybe 20 years ago and think, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Arvina, thank you so much for stopping in and talking to us, talking to us and the listeners. Really, it rejuvenates me. We got Bob Lake coming up next. And Arvina, we got like 10 seconds. Can you give your website out one more time?
wi.emergeamerica.org. And if you can donate, help support us do the work that we do.
Right on. Hey, thanks, Arvina. We'll see you next week. Hey, up next, Bob Lake from Red Lake. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our partners like your local county veteran service officer, we can help access the benefits you've earned and the support you need. For more information, please visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we are here with Bob Lake from Red Lake. I always have to say that one time a show, and he's Solar Bear with the Solar News. Great to see you, Bob. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, Robert. Great to be on. Lots of things happening around renewable energy across the country. Of course, you know, this administration is attacking the renewable energy industry. And all things, you know, solar, wind, you know, renewable energy. So whatever the fossil fuel industry says to him and this administration to cut, that's what they're doing. The grain belt transmission line. Now, what's really important about this, Robert, is the grain belt transmission line is a transmission line that was going to be taking both, you know, solar and renewable energy out to the East Coast, right? Cheap energy, Robert, cheap energy. And everyone, I just want to let you all know too, the country of Spain, entire country just went like the entire last month on renewable energy. The entire country. So we have countries now that are literally like supplying energy on renewables. And remember, y'all, the more that we can do this around the world, the more that we can do this right here at home, just means that, you know, that's less greenhouse gases that are being emitted into the atmosphere, which is the, you know, cause behind climate change. And why you're seeing all these horrible floods, all these heat waves, and all these things that are happening. So anyways, this transmission line, Robert, is really, really important because it's been about, it took about a decade to plan. These things aren't easy to do, okay? And this transmission line went to the government, right, and got loans to do this. And it literally is not happening now. They canceled the loans, Robert.
Jesus.
And, yeah. And this is, you know, this was agreed upon. This was, you know, going to happen. And now the government is trying to pull out of the deal. Now, Robert, I don't know if the government's going to succeed or not, because contracts have been signed, things have been placed. You know what I mean? There's a lot of, you know, things that are happening. But, you know, this just is another really good example of this administration doing anything and everything to trip up, to slow up the progress of this country moving forward.
Yeah, and you talk about all the time that the whole world is going, you know, renewable because they see what's happening. It's smart. It's, and then we're reversing it because of the billionaires out there that Trump wants to drill baby, and bring back coal, things that we know were bad in the 60s and 70s he wants to bring back.
Well, here's another terrible story. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, is rolling back their papers and their research, and, you know, saying essentially that climate change isn't real, that this isn't happening, and they're rolling back their protections across the country. And what's crazy about this is that we all know, Robert, of interesting. There was one person who made an interesting comment, and I believe it's a congressperson, but she said that she lived in the city of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So she remembers the orange mornings from the pollution from the steel plant. She remembers the, you know, the water having tons of like pollutants in it because they were just dumping their waste into the river. She says she remembers seeing fish just floating in the, you know, in the river because it was too toxic for them to even live. And so, you know, it's stuff like that. Now the Environmental Protection Agency is pulling back on all this stuff, and it's just a tragedy. It's just horrible.
Yeah, it is. It is. We should swing into some good news here. I see that things are happening up in Red Lake with your charging systems and your cars. I saw that you had posted that a couple days ago.
Yeah. So we are still moving forward and getting charging stations into communities, billing out Electric Nation, it puts a smile on my face because, this van we got for the Red Lake Nation Youth Shelter is a Volkswagen Buzz van. And I want to say I think we paid like $96,000 or something for it, right? It was really expensive. Wow. But here's the thing, Robert. This van has got like all-wheel drive. It's got like it's all electric. It's got like the heated battery system or something. So like if it's 20 below or something, it's still going to move, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be like a regular car and everything. Well, anyways, we've got this, and it's tricked out. I mean, it's got every imaginable in there for the kids.
Got some white walls. Oh,
yeah, and Robert, what's really funny about this is, the people up there are, some of the Red Lakers are calling it the Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine. But I really love the way this van looks, and I'm really excited that it's going to be serving this wonderful program. That serves the community. And then we've got a F1 Ford Lightning going out to 8th Fire Solar at the White Earth Nation.
Cool.
And they do a wonderful job over there in the communities, fighting energy poverty, putting up solar panel walls, heating systems, solar thermal wall systems. And so, that's another way that I think that we can fight energy poverty too. But long story short, both these programs are going to be serving the communities better with these two vehicles. And so we're really happy that we're able to do this for them.
Well, hey, congratulations. I know you've been working on that for a while, and it's great to see your dream and the other nation's dreams come to fruition.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Robert. It's really great seeing all this happen. And we've got a couple more. We've got a couple box trucks coming out. And then we're putting up more charging stations across North Dakota, South Dakota, into Wisconsin and Michigan. And we're really excited to site these things and then hopefully get some vehicles into these other communities that we're working through. But we have to start somewhere, and we're just and getting it going as we're moving forward. So, yeah, really happy about that. We've got solar projects coming up. We'll be putting solar on 75 homes. We've got the Shakopee project that will be starting, everyone. We've got the Shakopee project will be starting here next month. Solar Bear will be doing the project out in Shakopee. We've got another solar project that we'll be building at a museum. And Robert, I got to tell you, I'm very picky about the solar projects I do. Mm-hmm. And when I went in to meet this board of directors and I walked in the door and I saw all these kids holding hands and they were looking up at the art, I knew right then and there, the executive director came up to me and they were like, Bob, I really hope you do this project. And I shook his hand. And I said, we're going to do it. Nice. So we start that next month too also. So really excited. We've got some good solar projects happening for Solar Bear across the state of Minnesota and Wisconsin, and lots of good stuff happening. So, but just everyone keep on following the news around the renewable energy. I think it's still happening. You know, a lot of good things are still happening. It's not all bad. But Robert, that's the Solar Bear with the solar news.
Appreciate you as always, brother. Love you. And thanks for coming on and giving the Solar Bear with the solar news. It really, really makes my week. Robert, congratulations on all your work and the great work that you've been doing for a long time. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance, from Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. See you tomorrow.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Ben Giles, founder of Laughable Productions and the funniest person in Oshkosh contest. Then, If Walls Could Talk host and podcaster Mike Siegel joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. Israel has now begun allowing a limited amount of aid airdrops into Gaza. The country's military also said it's opening up several aid corridors for humanitarian assistance. It comes as six people died in Gaza in the last day from hunger, bringing the total death toll from starvation and malnutrition to more than 130, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Ministry of Health. Dr. Travis Moline describes what he's observed in the region.
I'm seeing, you know, food desperation. I'm seeing healthcare workers that are eating literally just a single small meal of rice per day.
This morning, 12 people were killed while trying to get food at an aid distribution site. Passengers and crew on an American Airlines flight had to be evacuated during takeoff yesterday. It all played out at Denver Airport, where the flight crew reported a possible landing gear incident, according to the FAA. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.